You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 15. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you that we can thank you, that we can be still. And you are able to be wonderfully, wonderfully in your awesome, awesomeness, power, and love, and joy, and peace. All the things that we don't have, you provide in your wonderful person. So God, deal with us. I'm going to thank you very much. In Christ's name. We think of downstairs and the people and the children and babies, and here we are up here. So help us in Christ's name. Amen. We're looking and have been looking at the events as we have gone through the Gospel of John in the upper room and in chapter 15, 16, 17, the last stages before he goes out to get crucified. And in the process, he's preparing the 11 and preparing us by way of this information recorded to the 11 to be able to go and fulfill his wonderful word and will. And therefore, you have the book of Acts, and then Acts leads to Romans and all of the epistles. And all of that, is about how to outwork one's personal relationship to God. It isn't about reaching out into no man's land. It's about developing a relationship to God and all of God's time in the epistles is about you learning how to function properly, since that is critical. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, you'll notice in John chapter 15 and in verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, purpose, result, that, what's going to happen by these things, that my joy might find a home in you, and that your joy might be full. Now, so these things, God, you just verses 1 through 10, etc., are all given so that we could be able to understand God's wonderful, wonderful joy. God is delighted. God is delighted to be who he is and to provide his wonderful person so that believers can enjoy God in the fullness that God has in mind. That's why the end of verse 11, that your joy might be full of God's joy, how God thinks and feels. And therefore, in the process, so therefore, you said all of these things so that the believer could understand them and exercise them and believe them, and then the resultant result of abiding the branch in the vine is going to be joy, a wonderful, wonderful fulfillment of God's wonderful plan and purpose by way of Calvary's cross. Now, and then we slid down, verse 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. And then we come to verse 17. And in verse 17, these things, there again, I command you, that, and the word that, result, in order that result, what is this one? Well, up in verse 11, it was joy. Down here, verse 17, these things I command you, that with the result, in order that, you would love one another. And in the verses 12 and 13 and 14 and 15, and God went through as we shared all those together, and the whole purpose is to get us to be able to enjoy God's wonderful, wonderful plan and purpose in its fullness. and to be able to give expression to that joy, and able to be and have that joy to be shown, to make the joy show forth so you can see the joy. Joy, are they joy? God is joyous, like now. Now, so therefore, keeping that in mind, if you would, so that's what you're looking for. Now we want to tackle that again a little better. And in verse 17, these things I command you, that you love one another. Now, so in the light of loving one another, doing God's will in a wonderful, wonderful way, God, so we share together that God said we are to be, know his peace in chapter 14. So everything God is going to do, it's all about God. And it's about the believer enjoying what God would do, who God is, and what he does, what he's done. So it isn't about us, it isn't about anybody else. It's about the believer discovering God in his magnificence. So you got work, home, school, friends, enemies, coming, going. You got all of that exists. But what is the prime target? God, what is it? That we would be able to go and enjoy who you are in a wonderful way, and to show that, to have joy in our heart that overflows and gives expression to the relationship. That expression to the relationship is our testimony. That is to be our testimony to the world. God, you said it on your way to the cross, even as we've shared, that you are delighted. The hour, your hour has come in the garden. You wished you didn't have to drink of that cup, but God, it was the will of God, was it not, for the Son of God to die on the cross? And that is what is all the excitement from how far back, before angels were created, God the Son volunteered, if you could use that word, to die on the cross, the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. It's about the fulfillment of that. And we have to see it. Otherwise, we're here and we just look at a few pages, we try to read, turn the pages of history and look back and come forward. But we can't. It's to be like the founding of our country. When they signed the Declaration of Independence and all of that, that was a very high moment in their thinking and their understanding. They were going to pay, and they knew they were going to pay, a very serious price for signing that document. Prison, life, death, if the thing didn't work, they knew they were in terrible shape. But it was an exciting time, and the mood and movement was picked up by our country. And we could say all that and read about it and try to imagine it. And here we are sitting, and we just can't come to grips with that because we weren't there. God, what have you done? We weren't there at the cross, but you have done something wonderful. You have made it so that we here are able to have the benefit of that magnificent moment in the light of all of forever, and to have that fullness of it. Hang on now. So in the light of that, to love one another. Now, so having said that, my peace, my joy, my love, my friends, my slaves, we read, and God, verse 16, you've chosen us in order to be able to enjoy this unique relationship of your saving grace, to be able to be all of it, to know what? My peace, my joy, my friends, all of it, my love. That's right. I want you to enjoy all about me, said God. It's all about me. Why? Because I'm the one doing it. I'm the creator. And I have made you and given you the right, made in my image and likeness. to be able to share, to reflect, so that as I love you and you receive my love, it bounces right off of you, as it were, and comes right back to me. We love him first because what? He loved us. And it comes right back to us. Wow. Now hang on. So in the light of that, and all of that wonderful, wonderful thing that God is doing, and God is doing it. And remember, it's all over to Matthew chapter 16. We do Matthew 12, verse 38 to 40. You have to turn there. But I just did this because you could say, I know Matthew 12, 38 to 40. And you wouldn't turn there because you say, I know that, see? So I did it differently this time because you may not remember that so easy. Matthew chapter 16. God, what did you say that we're looking at? We need to understand. Remember, they wanted a sign. Verse 3, and in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. And ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous, verse 4, generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given it unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. Remember, we shared that in Matthew chapter 12. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And that's the only sign he's going to do. They want a sign. He's given them all kinds of evidence in 1,000 different ways. But it doesn't make any difference. They just cannot come to grips with the fact that a man, that God could become a man. They just couldn't come to grips with it at all. And you understand, if you can, if it helps you at all, just think, if you would, is using my little ant illustration, if I may again. And here we are, stand up here, make believe you're all looking down, and you in unity, we create the ants down there, down in the thing. I hope there's no ants running around. And the ants down there, and the ants are down there running around. And there's a big anteater, because of their sin, ants sin. And therefore the beast became carnivorous. So you have to use your imagination. And here comes the anteater down. And the ant, I want to warn the anteater, I want to warn the ants of what's happening. So therefore I send someone down. An ant, become an ant, and they try to tell him. I try to tell him about the anteater, and they hear me, but they don't hear me, because they said, "How could an ant possibly know about such things?" Now, in the process of that, and then here comes all the other ants that believe and don't believe, and they're back and forth about the whole thing. Now, my point: how much do those ants down there think of me looking down at them? How much are they conscious of me up here? Are they conscious? Are they all looking at the other things and looking up and saying, up there, there's our maker, our creator? No, they aren't. No, they aren't at all. They're caught up with down here. And they just can't imagine that someone's up here creating a whole world among which are ants. They're the ants. They just can't imagine it. Can't do it. That's what the world is. The world's busy. God is going to say something to them if they would listen. But they're trying to tell them, we're trying to say, that's what God's going to give a message. You'll love one another, because that's going to be, you'll see it in a sec here, the message again. God, you're trying to tell the joy and the excitement of God's wonderful plan for creating ants, and using that illustration, and God doing all these things. But you know what? They just can't grab that. They just can't get it. And in fact, they went and they think the ant was crazy. They thought the Lord was mad and they crucified him to say such things, that the cross is the wonderful fulfillment of God's creativity for his glory and honor. They say, you're crazy. The foolishness of preaching. No. They just don't. So here we are. That's our assignment, is to communicate. But you have to understand, using the ants, that humans don't want to. They can't even grab what you're going to do. But you have an assignment to do it. Even though they think you're crazy. Now, so therefore, God, the only sign you're going to give him is the sign of the prophet Jonah, and you're going to do it in such a way that it shows forth thy love, your wonderful love. Now, God, what do we know about God's love? We just read it in 1 John in the reading. God is love. Love is an attribute, a characteristic of God's nature. But all of those characteristics, love, peace, joy, is nothing other than God himself. Now, God is love. So when God said, you love, God loves, so loved the world that he went and died on the cross for the whole thing before the foundation of the world, he died. He died for it. So therefore, that's what you did. And why did you do it? God so loved because of your love. Because what? Because you're God. What does love mean? God, we share agape and all of that. What does it mean? God said, my love is to produce, to give of myself, to see myself, to show myself. That's what love, that's L-O-V-E, love, biblical, love, to show thyself, to what? To bring to the object of my affection, to bring to that object all of my wonderful thoughts, my love. What do you mean? What is love? God, you are love. Aha. Uh-huh. Well, how much love? God, your love, you're going to produce what? The highest and the best. Yeah, love, the highest and best. Now, God, that's you. So, God, what are you going to do? I want my highest and best. I'm going to give you myself. I am the highest and best. That's what my love is. You want me to love you? I am God. I'm going to be God to you. When I'm God to you, I'm love to you. Understand? Why? Because I want what from you? I want you to be everything that I have in mind. I want the highest and best out of you and for you. So when God's loving us, you need that. You need to understand that. That's God. That's what he's doing for all of the world. Christ died for the sin of every Adam all the way to the end of the millennium. No question about that. So now, having said that, God, so here's the world, here's us humans down here, and God, we need to see. They're looking like the ants. They don't think of the anteater, and they can't perceive of such a thing in one sense. So therefore, here's the humans, and God, you have made humans to show this wonderful, wonderful relationship to you in a most wonderful way. Now, we're talking about a relationship. We are talking the family. Family has relationships. Children have relationships to the parents, and husbands to the wives, and wives to the husband. And work, you go to work, and you have a relationship to work because you wear a certain uniform or you do certain things or whatever. And sports, they wear certain uniforms and go out and do certain things in sports. Now, and all of that takes place. And so you know. Do you know which team they're playing? They all have the same shirt on. Do you know which team they're cheering for? And then they're all there cheering. So they know, you know. Where's the evidence? The evidence is obvious. Of which team they're on? of which team the crowd is cheering for? They all know. That's real clear evidence. So in the sporting events, they're cheering. In a military thing, and the military unit is on inspection, the parade, and all of that, and the general is there, and the people there commandant in that. And here they are. And in the process, what is it? And if you were watching at a distance, you'd see a precise unit in performing inspection. That's what you would see. So you didn't have to guess. It was very obvious what you saw and what you see. Now, in Islam there, Islam, Muslims, here's five times a day. When I was out in California once, years ago, and in the process, we had to get off the plane, get a cab to do whatever. And you know, we couldn't get a cab because all of that was at noon, and all the cab drivers, at least in that whole bunch of them, were all the same, and they all had their little rugs out on next to the car door, and they were all bowing down to Mecca five times a day. Do you know what? There was no guess that who they belonged to. They were Muslims. They all had their rugs, even different rugs, but they all had them, all bowing down. Wow, that's what they did. It was very obvious. God, what do you want? I'm trying to say something, God said. I'm trying to communicate to the world wonderful, wonderful, the wonderful, wonderful opportunity to know and honor and fulfill the reason you were created in the first place. And Christ died on the cross. Now, I'm trying to say that. Well, how are you going to say it, God? I'm not going to give him any other sign except the sign of the prophet Jonah, an empty tomb. But I'm going to take whosoever's, and I'm going to do something wonderful in him. Since I am love, and therefore they're to love one another. How did they get saved? You loved them and died for them. And they received that love. That's what they did. And they received that love in their heart. So therefore, and by the way, I'm looking, I didn't mean to move Mecca that fast, but if you have seen sometime in parts of the world, India, different places, where they're all bowing down, I mean thousands of them. Isn't that impressive? You don't have any question about who they're bowing to. 1.5 billion of them on the face of the earth at the moment, whatever it is. Wow. Bowing down. That's awesome. God, so here we are. So what are we doing? Well, God, you have a wonderful plan. That's right. I want you to go and understand you need to love one another. Why do you need to love one another? Because how are you going to know me? If you don't know, the reason you're saved, the reason you're created, is because I love you. That means I'm God, and I want the highest and best. I created you in my image and likeness to be saved and know me. That's what I did. So therefore, if you're going to have to be in my love, and if you're in my love, you're going to love what I'm doing. You're going to love what I'm after, aren't you? You love what? Love. You got to love. If you're on the team, don't you want to? If you're on a sports team or something, don't you want to go and be a cheer? How can you have 11 people or whatever type of game you want, and the sports team's out there, and three of them are disgruntled about the coach or something else, and they're there, and then they and there's these three big guys on the other side, ready to come in, and just you're going to get. I'm going to get the quarterback, and the three of them all step aside, and those three big guys charge in and knock the quarterback down. I told you we'd get even, coach. See, that well, God, they don't do that. You'd fire them, wouldn't you? If you go to work and you don't want to do the same product and you do it wrong, I don't think you're going to keep your job very long. You aren't going to do it. You have to be in harmony. You have to want to do the same thing. God, in order for us to demonstrate your marvelous person, We need to want, we're glad you're our God and Savior. We're glad you have a plan and purpose, and we want you love, and that plan and purpose is for the highest and best, your love, which is your wonderful glory and honor. And God, how are we going to get along with you if we don't love what you do? How are we going to do that? And you love the whole world and died? That's true. We got all kinds of bad things and carnality and everything else. But boy, we got to love what you're after, God. We got to love what you're after. And God said, that's right. And you love being part of the body? Do you love the other parts of the body? It doesn't mean they're good guys or bad guys or they even exist in your world. But it's God's plan. And God, aren't you glad you could be a little toenail or something? That's rather obvious. In the relationship to God, that's an awesome thing to have that relationship and to have the body. Now, God, whatever you're doing with believers, that's what I want. I want you the highest and best. And that's what we have to do. If we don't love one another in that sense and understand that, then nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen like it's supposed to. Now, so therefore, God, in the light of your love, in the light of what you're doing, chapter 13 of John, John in chapter 13. Now, I know I chit-chatted with you a lot, but just to get to see it, you need to understand. It's a very simple thing. You have to love one another. That means I love everything God loves. I love it the way. God's going to send some to hell that don't believe. So it doesn't mean God doesn't love. God's doing what he's doing. The wrath of God's going to come in his love. I just want love. You want to love what God loves. I have to love what God loves. I'm part of it. Part of the team. Part of the work. God, part of the body. Part of what you're doing. I have to love that. And if I don't love that, then God says you don't have a relationship to me like you're supposed to have. How can you enjoy me if you don't enjoy what I love? Enjoy what I'm doing. Enjoy how I'm doing it. Wow. Now, and in the light of that, John chapter 13, you know he said it, all these things. In chapter 13, picking up, please, in verse 34, 35. Little children, yet a little, 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, you also love one another. That just is simple. And it's going to say it again and again and again and again. As I love you. What did you read? Back over to John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, God the Father loving me, and the God the Father's love in the Son, so have I loved you. Continue, the word continue, abide in my love. Not your love, my love. We did all that. So you know that. So God, what do you want? You want us to abide, find a home in your love. And that's what you said, God. It's a commandment. It's what you want. That's right. I want to be able to go and demonstrate so that when you, taking it a step ahead of our time here, if you ask anything in my name, why are you always going to say that? Why do you insist if you ask anything in my name? Because you're a son in the Son. And if you just go and ask God and look to God, and who are you? No, you're in the body, and I'm the head, said the Lord Jesus. So you want to show the Father and everyone else, saved and unsaved, why do you have such awesome authority? Why can all these things, turn over chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 13. And whatsoever you shall ask, remember the ask desire in my name, that will I do in order that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. What are we going to do? We're looking. And what is our authority? It's in his name. That's why whatever we do, eat and drink, we do it with thanksgiving in his name. Because we're always pointing to whom? All the parts of the body are pointing to the head. All of them. So God, here's God the Father in your presence. What are we doing? We're able to go and we're asking, what is all our authority? What right do we have even to try to come to grips with you? Because of the Lord Jesus Christ and his death on the cross and given us life, because he loved us and having that life, and he loves us, and we exercise the life that he gives us because he loves us. And as we exercise the life he gives us, it shows itself in a most awesome way that all the world might see that life that is expressed as we enjoy that life. And that life is to be that life, that love, that friendship, that peace, that relationship is to show itself because of the Son. Who are we supposed to be representing? Think of 1 Corinthians 2, chapter 2. You don't have to turn there. Paul, what are you going to say in this great cosmopolitan city of Corinth? I determined not to know anything with all the intellect and all the knowledge you have, but you aren't going to do it, no. I determined to know nothing among you, among them, except Jesus Christ and him, what? Crucified. That's all I want to know. That's what I'm going to show him. Lord, what do you say? The only sign I'm going to give him is the sign of the prophet Jonah. And what are we going to do? Well, the sign of the prophet Jonah is that Christ rose again. How do you know Christ rose again? You've received him as your Savior. And why do we have that awesome power? Because we're doing it in representing. We aren't representing 10 different people. We're representing one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask in his name so that everything we do and all that we do and all that we are is coming through him. And he is to be glorified. He's the Son. And we are saved in the Son of, in God's love. And we're to represent that love. And that's what we're doing. We're allowing God to be God in our little lives for the highest and best. And we're able to be going without, and the plan and purpose as we learn and grow and understand more and more, we know what God is after. We know why he's after it. We know what he wants to do. And God is doing what he does in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so here's God the Father and the disciples were to love one another. That doesn't mean that included Judas when he was around. And Judas wasn't very much there, but he was there. And he didn't do that anyway, but the 11 had to learn, and they would learn, and they will learn after Pentecost. They will learn in God's wonderful way. So here is God loving, as we read John chapter 15, verse 9. We're to enjoy God's love. Now, what is God's love? Christ said, I want you to enjoy my love. When you enjoy Christ's love, whose love is that? Whose love is it? It's the Father's love, because Jesus will say it in the next verse. I'm letting God the Father love me, and I want all that the Father wants in his great plan. And therefore, I make possible the Father's love. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son doesn't have life. The only way you can know the Father is by the Son. The only way we can know the Father and enjoy and show that perfect, wonderful relationship is by the Son. So we say in Jesus' name. We do eat. We eat and drink, and we drink whatever. We go to work, and we wash the dishes, and we scrub the floor, and we do whatever we do as believers. Believers, loving, wanting, understanding more and more what God is after and what he's doing. Now the ants, back to your ants. The ants may not care. The ants don't understand. But the point is that you up here, as it were, looking down, do. And you gave them due warning and due understanding of what was going to happen. So it isn't a question you didn't tell them, God. You'd warn them. What's going to happen when God takes the church in the next, hopefully before the day's over? You're going to have the tribulation, and what's the word? Grace to wrath. What's holding up wrath? Grace. You are. You're here. That's why there's no wrath yet. Because God isn't doing it yet. And we're supposed to show that in the most wonderful way. That how? By our relationship to God, to each other. To understand God wants you saved over here, and God wants you saved over here. Now, you may not be saved, but we want them saved, and we understand God wants them saved, etc. You do whatever you want, but God wants them saved. And you want what God wants, that's what God's doing. And you're content and looking to God in a most wonderful way for God to do it. So therefore, here in the light, exercised in the relationship to God to produce a wonderful, wonderful enjoyment of the Master, the Lord himself, outworking his wonderful witness in our life, in your life. And that's what God's doing. And it isn't about you. It's about God being God. And you love, you work for the company. And you work. And remember years ago, I've shared it, you know all these things, maybe, at least it used to be, years ago when they had all kinds of companies. I used to work for J. Sanborn Company that made all the little needles that go on things that go back and forth, everything. They made all the needles and everything, like machines like that. I used to do that. That's when I was going to school. And in the process of that, you know, and they had I told you these things, wonderful profit sharing. It was to encourage the employees so that all of us cared. Boy, if Steve was, Steve's sort of slouching off here. And you know what? We all come over to Steve. Come on, Steve. Get with it. Why? Because we benefit. We all benefit. You want helping us produce. Because we all want to be on the same page. Do you remember, I bet you work for a company like that now? That's what it used to be. Because we all want the company. We want everything to be. If you goof, you try to fix it to make the whole thing work. Wow. Now, God, that's a human thing. But God, you have something wonderful. And that you want our life to outwork itself in a most awesome and wonderful way. And therefore, God, here we are. So Christ is the head of the body in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Over to Ephesians. And in Ephesians, if I can, chapter 1, just to remind you. Now remember now, I love what people, and we do friends and enemies and all of that. We aren't talking about that. We're talking about honoring God who has saved us into his wonderful person by his Son. And his Son gives us and all of the authority. You and I don't have a drop of it. Only Christ has it. And you're in Christ's body, and he's the head. And that's why you are able to say, in Christ's name. And you're able to do it because you're part of the body, and the head said, you honor the body, you honor the relationship, And whatever you ask in my name, I will what? I will do it. That's pretty simple. God, the head's going to take care of the body. So here, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. And then you know that which church? Church, the end of verse 22. Verse 23, which church is his body? So you don't have to guess that the church is his body. It isn't a building, it's a body. And the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So the head supplies everything to the body by way of the head, and the body provides everything to the head by way of the body. And so it's a mutual thing, God providing it for the body, and the body providing for the head. It's a wonderful thing. It's a relationship. And God, it's a relationship that you meant to be enjoyed and to be honored. Over to chapter 5. And in chapter 5, you would recall, picking up, if I may, in verse 27, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having at his coming, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their own wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. God, so if we love your body, how are we going to love you? And loving the body. Love the body, you'll love me. Humans, that's marriage. Well, that's how you're going to love me. Hold your finger here a minute. Go over to 1 John. If I can, 1 John, picking up a thought. In 1 John, oh, you'll catch the flavor of it, if I can. Chapter 5, verse 1. 5:1, 1 John. Whoso believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him, that begat, that's how we got saved, God loved us, loveth him that begat him, that's us believers, also that is begotten of him. So we just love. We're part of, we love everything God's loving. Verse 2. By this we know, what do we know? That we love the children of God. When we love God and keep his commandments. How are we going to know? Verse 3. And this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. So God, we're going to have a unique relationship to you that allows you to be God in a most wonderful way. And so as we look to you in the body, in the fullness of the body, my joy, remember, think of John 15 and verse 11, my joy might be full in you, full. So you don't know, nothing's chintzy about anything here. No, God, you just want to be wonderfully God. That's what I want. I want to be able to have my way and my will for the highest and best that I have for you. That's what I want. I love you. I want the highest and best. That's what I want. And the highest and best is what? God himself. There is no higher. And no one will love you like that. Only God loves you like that. Only God can make that. And that's what you want. You want to be loved. We love him because he first loved us. It's right in front of you. John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. So God, we're going to look to you. And as we look to you and honor you, you will love. And as we look to you, then we're going to be loving. God, we're going to love what you love, because you're love. And if you want to do the highest and best of me, and you're going to stir my heart and motivate me, then that's what I'm going to think. I'm going to think correctly. It isn't about me. I have my prayer. I'm going to get 500 people to pray with me. No, I may not get anyone to pray with me. It isn't whether you pray with me or not. You want God's will. All by your lonesome. You want God's will. That's what he's going to do. whether you have any support or not, whether anyone else cares or not. That's what he's going to do. That's wonderful. That's because you want his will. And that's what God's going to do. And you're looking for God's wonderful working in your heart and life, loving you, wanting the highest and best. We don't cheat. We don't sidetrack. We want to be I want to be in the loop. In the loop. I don't want to be outside. I want to be in the middle of this thing. Wow. And God, you're going to do it. I am. Back over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Picking up, please, in verse 27. Well, verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Now, God, you're very careful about your body. You certainly wouldn't put your body, you wouldn't put your hand in the middle of a red hot iron. You wouldn't put your hand on it because you're concerned about your hand, you see. And you're concerned, and you wouldn't stick your fingers in electrical outlet. And that's what you help little children to learn, not to stick their fingers. And when they do, there's an education that comes. Do you understand that? There's an education. When you stick your fingers in the electrical outlet, you're going to get a message. And the message is very clear that says, please don't stick your fingers in the electrical outlet, because it isn't for you. It's for light bulbs. It isn't for you. So here we are, God, and you love what? Read it again. Verse 29. For no man ever hated his own flesh and nourisheth it, even as the Lord, the Lord loves you like you love your body. That's pretty good. So anything that happens to you, are you concerned about it from head to toe? Absolutely. God, are you concerned about the body? Absolutely, from head to toe. By this you'll know that all men love, you're my disciples, because you love one another. You're in the body. You love what's going on. The world in apostasy, the church is in apostasy, and everything's out there not very good. But hey, we aren't talking about a whole lot of people. We're talking just drawing a little circle and letting God do a wonderful work in our little heart and head. That's what we're looking for. And therefore, verse 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Now, you can't say it better than that. God said, listen, I love you like my own body. You are my own body. You are my own body. Flesh and blood. That's flesh and blood. Wow. God, that's awesome. We're flesh and blood. Uh-huh, that's what we are. Saved in this flesh and blood. That's right. Wow. And God, you're doing a wonderful thing. Back over to Ephesians. And in chapter 3. And in chapter 3, picking up the thought, going, if I can, in the great prayer, the prayers of the New Testament are the ones to, you want to know how to pray, read the prayers. And that's what God's after, that's what God's looking for, and that's what you learn to say and do. Verse 16, 3 and 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. What reason? That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Uh-huh, because God loved us. That's why we're saved. Christ loves us. God is love. That's what it's all about. That's what Christ said in John 15:9. I want you to go and abide, find your home in my love. Not your love, in my love. That's what I want you to do. What I'm after, not what you're after, what I'm after. There's a big difference in what you and I want and what God wants. And that's what you want, what God wants. Verse 19, that we may be able to comprehend, with all saints. What is that? The breadth and length and depth and height. And that's all around us, like the air, like the ocean. Verse 19. To know what? To know the love of God, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. So you aren't going to understand it, and you aren't going to sit down and figure it out. All you can do is enjoy it. That's all you can do. Like you enjoy the air right now. We just said it in Sunday school, you're in the bottom of the ocean of the air, and you're all enjoying, at the bottom of the ocean, enjoying the air. And you never figured out, is it going to get exhausted? Did I take the air from over here and take? No, I don't even think about it. There's enough air, so much air, that you don't even think about someone else breathing all the air up on you. You just enjoy the air. And you learn to enjoy a great God. You're in the middle of it, and it isn't. You aren't going to understand it, and you aren't going to be able to unfold and unravel all of its mysteries that are right now happening in the air around us. Now, which passes knowledge, that we might be filled with all the what? Fullness of God. Now, God, we aren't going to understand. No. My joy I give unto you. Why? That my joy will fill you up. That's what I want to do. I want your joy to be full of my joy. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for that, God said. That's what I'm looking for, to be full. Now, God, don't understand it. No, you aren't going to. God, I can't even start to know where to begin. No, just thank God. God, thank you. Thank you very much. That it can be a real experience, exercise for great enjoyment. To be able to know you, the living and only God, which passes all understanding. And verse 19, the end, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. So God, are you going to, God, how much of a God? There's no way to know half of you. It's all of you. Uh-huh, that's what it is. That's why I want, God is love. Love is God. God, that's love, the highest and best. How much of it, God? All of me, said God. You've got all of me, all that I am. That's why Sunday school, with all the characteristics and attributes and nature of God, wow. All that you are, that's right. That's what I want you to do. I want you to enjoy all that I am. You can't do it. You aren't going to understand it. You're just going to enjoy it. And it's going to take forever. That's why you'll enjoy being saved in eternity, where there is no more time. And there is no more exhaustion of anything. Everything is perfect and timeless. And you're going to spend forever enjoying who I am, said God. What do you think of that? No, I want to see, who am I going to see in heaven, Moses or David? No. No. You're going to enjoy God. That's what it's about. I think that's awesome. I do. And that's why we love. What are we going to do? Well, we're going to love one another. That means I love what God wants. That's what God wants. If God wants you to be saved, be saved. You don't have to be saved. You can try to shoot me. That's all right. That's all right. But God wants you to be saved, and he loves you. And I love what God wants. I love what God's doing. I love what God's after. That's what I'm going to do. And I got to quit because God said the time's up. I hope we got a little bit. We didn't get very far, did we? But anyway, I'm just trying to get you to see it. You ask anything in my name, you must come as a son. And the only power you have as a son is in the Son, Christ in you. And that's your power. That's your authority. That's the sureness of it all. Nothing about us. Everything about God. Our Father and God, we look to you with thanksgiving and deal with our heads and our hearts and homes and health and wealth and as we fumble around in our brain and our thinking and our feeling and all the everything, God. And God, we only can answer for ourselves. God, just do a wonderful little thing in my little heart. Just because you're you. Just because you want, just because you love us. You want the highest and best. You just want to be God in us, in all of your fullness. That's what you want. Can't ask for more, God. I just ask that you'd help us to grow into this and understand it a little more and a little more each day. And our God, we're going to thank you for all of it. In Christ's name, amen.